Okay, excellent. Very, very good. Very good. Well, as you know, it's a special day for a number of reasons today. We are passing the leadership of the music ministry from Craig to Wayne. There's some very significant things about that as far as our discipleship individually, as well as the way that we are as a congregation. And I want to, you know, tease some of that out for a couple of minutes this morning. And then after that, we're going to have a time of waiting on God, and then we're going to transfer with some prayer that the leadership of that ministry, and then we'll go come to the Lord's table and so forth like we usually do. But I want to start all of this consideration with a quiz. So I have prepared a quiz for you this morning, and only two questions. So here's the first question. If you were in ancient Israel at the time the Old Testament was being written, you're alive then, what is the way that you would become a priest? How did somebody become a priest in the Old Testament? You were born. You were a son of someone who was already a priest in the house of Levi, amongst the Levites. Excellent. Okay, so far, 50%, this is going great. All right, so we're going to get to discussion next week, okay? All right, here's the second question. Fast forward into the New Testament, how do you become a priest? Christian church, things are rolling along. How do you become a priest in that system? God calls you, yes?
What?
Okay, now I want you to know I did not send the answers to Missy ahead of time. That's right, in the New Testament, it's the same as the Old Testament. The Old Testament, you were born into the house of the high priest. In the New Testament, you are born again into the house of the high priest, who is Jesus. Every Christian is a priest. So the look on your face as you look at me now is, really? Well, then who the are you? We just went a whole search process and everything, letter of agreement. Could have saved an awful lot of time. Well, here's what I am. This is my preferred title, although I never use it. Nobody ever thinks of it. They think of some other denomination. Is presbyter. Presbyter. And that's in the prayer book and all that. You'll find it in the Bible, depending on your translation. Okay, now here's an aside. This is completely for free. It won't come up on Jeopardy or anything like that, but still, it's important to know. The priesthood of all believers, the Greek, you see how rich and deep this is? The Greek word is heros. And that developed into the English language as priest. Came through Latin and Spanish and all this, and it's priest. Presbyter, presbyteros is the Greek word for someone who is in my position, and others like the leader of a congregation, and that came into the English language through the Germanic languages, Old German into Old English, shortened from presbyter to priester to priest. So we have one word with two completely separate origins, meaning two completely separate things. That means that it's very important to keep them separate and think straightly about them, because you are a priest after the house of Jesus, offering sacrifices of praise, thanksgiving, and good works to God all the time. That's who you are. You are a kingdom of priests. And then there are those within that group who take on the responsibility of making sure that it more or less rolls along. See? Ordination, order. You're in orders. And what you try to do every week is have some teaching and come to the table, and somebody's got to make sure that that happens. That's the only difference in responsibility before God between you and somebody who's in my position. Okay, everybody okay? A little iffy in the back section there, but okay. Right? We'll just keep going with that. What does that mean? What does that mean? If you can't use it on Jeopardy, where can you use this? Well, it's like this. If you are born into the house of the high priest and are giving sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving and good works, it means this: you count. You absolutely count in the eyes of God. And there is nothing, nothing that diminishes that. You always count. You always count completely. You always count more than you know in the eyes of God, because you are a priest in his eyes, offering those kinds of sacrifices. You are always significant from God. And as the perceptive person over here said a few minutes ago, you have a calling from God. Personally, he calls you by name. There is no time in the Christian life where you're just marking time. You're just settling in until something better comes along. You're not taking the job hoping another one comes along later. Or if I make that, take that a step further, you're not dating other churches until you find the one you really want to be with. That's right, you heard it here. Right? You are significant, special, and you count all the time because you're part of the priesthood of all believers. And the sacrifices that you make are significant because they're the ones God asks you to make. God says, this is what I want you to do. Okay. Where does this come from? Other than Greek, I'm no more Greek today. Where does this come from? Well, it comes from the Lord's Prayer. It comes from the teaching of Jesus. And one of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer we just read in the Gospel, we'll say it again, is this: give us this day our daily bread. Everything I've been telling you so far comes from that phrase. A whole lot of other things do too, but you know, time is of the essence. So, what are the meanings here? Where does this come from? Well, bread is the ministry of Jesus. It's what he does. It's what he provides. He said, I am the bread of life. When the Syrophoenician woman, you know, a non-Israelite, came to him and asked for healing for her daughter, he identified healing as the children's bread. And then she said, you know, just very openly, even the dogs get the crumbs. Just a little bit of your bread, that's all I want. It's all that. So bread is the ministry of Jesus. Our bread is the portion of his ministry that he gives to us. And your bread is the portion of his ministry that he gives to you to carry forward. And that's what your gifting is, or your talents, the different things that you carry on with, the things that you love. It's all part of the ministry of Jesus in and through your life, wherever you go and whatever you're doing. The ministry of Jesus is, in fact, the extension of his rule wherever we go. And that's his final goal, that his rule would extend over all of creation, that every knee would bow, that every kingdom will become his kingdom. That is the final end that Jesus has. You and I take part in that when we operate in our gifts, if you will, and extend his kingdom, even if it's one step at a time. That's what it is. That's the sacrifice you give as a priest who's following Jesus. That's the story of your life, if you will. Now, the results of that there'll be some final results, and along the way, there'll be some results. See, the results are this. No more crying. No more sickness. No more death. No more mourning. No more hunger. No more separation. None of this is going on. That is the end of what Jesus has in mind. And every time you step forward in the ministry, you take the sacrifice he's asked you to take, it is at the very least a proclamation that that day is coming. That day is on its way. Jesus takes from the solid, substantial, powerful, merciful, loving kingdom of God that will be full in the future, and he takes from that and right now, today, deposits a portion of it in us so that it can be released through our lives and extended into the world. That essentially is the Christian faith. That's the practice of it. Part of what we do here is receive his grace together at his table, and then we go from here and extend those portions of the kingdom that he's given us to extend. In a couple of minutes, we're going to hear people get ready. Let's talk about the train that's coming. That is not the train of judgment in the sense that you find out when the train pulls into the station if you're on or not. That's not it. It is a train from the kingdom of God and its completion, the train of hope that carries his signs of the kingdom into the present time, the present moment. And when you get on that train, you are taking what he's given you so that you can have it spread from your life wherever you go. That is the daily walk of the Christian. I know some of you have worked at various food banks around the Richmond area. Every can that you have picked up, placed on the pantry shelf, is a proclamation the day is coming when there's no more hunger. That came from the train of hope around the throne of Jesus right now into our lives, into you, and through you under that shelf. And then somebody else picked it up and put it into the hands of somebody who didn't have enough to eat. Every prayer you prayed for someone who was sick was from that same train of hope where there is no more sickness, comes into your heart and is released to whatever level it can go. See, that's how this works. That's how this works. It's the train of unstoppable hope of God, the unrelenting kingdom of mercy, all bringing the love of God today to the rest of the world through us. It's something from tomorrow Jesus is making that breaks into today. In fact, I know I said no more Greek, but I'm not going to say Greek word, okay? An acceptable translation of give us today our daily bread is this. Give us tomorrow's bread today. Tomorrow's bread is the fullness of Jesus and everything that he is breaking in today. Now, it's hard to remember that when we're praying it together. Give us tomorrow's bread today. But that's what we're praying when we say that. And things start happening in your life where you expand. Your soul expands. Something happens rolling around within our hearts so that the kingdom of God can flow through us to other people. Now, this is how it works. We encourage one another to love and good deeds. Something we do very well here at St. Francis, just encouraging one another, praying for one another. It's an important part of being priests, a kingdom of priests. And then we carry out what Jesus asks of us. That's why almost every Sunday I'm asking you, well, what is God telling you and what does God want you to do about it? Because that's part, a big part of how we become equipped to do what he asks us to do. And then in equipping each other, in that way, we find there's two levels. One is the informal, which goes on, you know, almost all the time. And if you're in a ministry together, it's a kind of group together, then you're encouraging each other in it, building each other up in it, seeking each other's success in it. Which, by the way, is the difference between a team and a group would be this. A group, you can show up, make a contribution, and go home, and it doesn't matter. in a team, you're not only invested in the team's goal, but to each person's success on the team. That's encouraging one another to love and good deeds. And that's how we get equipped. That's how we equip each other. And that's when, in just a few minutes, when we ask God to bless Craig and Nancy and equip Wayne to carry on with the work, have that transfer of ministry, that's what we're underlining. That these guys together have done something over a number of years, and it can be easily transferred because of that, because of seeking each other's success and equipping each other in how that would work. That's all of that is because everyone counts. Because you count. Because somewhere along the line, when you walked into St. Francis and you said, "This is my home," somewhere, even if it was unconsciously, you started saying, "I'm not looking for a date, I'm looking for a life." And God gave it to you. And you can carry that wherever you go. Day to day, we respond to what Jesus asks us to do. And what's very important, and I think the hardest part of this discipline is this. In the kingdom, you act before you understand what's going on. I see you're all comfortable with that. That's good. All right, good. Very good. I mean, the American church, and some other churches too, has tended to be far more educated beyond its level of obedience. And what Jesus is asking to do is to be far more obedient beyond our level of education. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I do something and mess it up, I learn it better and faster. That's what Jesus says to him. When he says, "Hey, just go and step out on the boat, we'll walk on the water," what do you say? Did we just sing that? I think we did, yeah, right. Yeah, so there we go. Formally, the leaders of the congregation are to do this, to make sure that you are equipped for the work of ministry God has asked you to do, and not to do the work of ministry for you. I'm just letting that sink in for a few minutes. Yeah. I sure can, thank you. I will, right? I will say that one more time. The work of the leaders of the congregation, me and the other leaders of the ministry groups, is to equip you to do the work of ministry, not to do the work of ministry for you. Okay, I want to thank the four or five of you who just said, "Yes, that's great." Now we're talking. But that's how you get a life in the kingdom. But go ahead and do what Jesus asked you to do. Not so much looking for what you like or how the church you think it ought to be or whatever. It's what did Jesus say, and you're equipped to do that. That is the whole deal. That's what we're going to be taking a minute right now to underline and ask Jesus to anoint as we transfer the leadership of the music ministry from Craig to Wayne. And over these past few years, Craig has been leading this group in such a way that we are equipped to worship. The choices that have been made as Craig's gone over the years has all been so that all of us can worship. That'll transfer to Wayne and go in that same way. And the day will come when Wayne will transfer that to another person who has been equipped to do that kind of work. If you don't mind my changing the metaphor just for one moment, this is fruit with seeds in it. if you think the priest, I'm sorry, the presbyter is supposed to do all the ministry, that's fruit, but there's no seeds in there. If you are equipped to do the ministry, it is easily passed to other people. And there's many, many seeds in whatever you do. That's what Jesus desires and asks of us. That's the direction that we're going in. Because there are things that you will be doing. I can't even imagine what they are. A cult falls under that category. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and no one's mind has imagined what God has in store. That's what's coming. As we take steps like this over the next few years, we'll see thousands, maybe millions of seeds released into this area. Now this is what we're going to do. The band is going to provide us the song, People Get Ready. While that's going on, if you would turn your heart, the ears and eyes of your heart, to the presence of Jesus and see what he's telling you during that time, I think that'd be great. And then after that, we're going to use the selections in your bulletin there to ask God to transfer the responsibility and anointing for leading youth ministry here from Craig to Wayne. So there we go. All yours.